All power and glory go to God. All greatness is from God. When a hero stumbles, well, the cowards rejoice. Nothing feels better to a coward than to watch a brave guy fall.
Magician got a story that's behind his tricks, and every GM got a story that's behind his picks. And when you listen, pay attention to the details. You can hear the ocean when you listen to the seashells. A newborn taught me wisdom that college couldn't, and college taught me how to talk more because I wouldn't. Words are sharp and they can reshape your disposition. Give out love and don't worry about your acquisitions. Too worried about the conference that you clinching, but your team is too much for you to carry in your own division. Palms is itching, about to run into some money next. Lord made me slow it down, cause I was surely missing steps. Euro stepping to my goals. Man, New Ginobili, can't nobody hold me. I need change like a gentrified neighborhood, but money ain't the only thing that can keep me straight for good. Bread alone is only good for the physical. Better make sure your soul's attached to your backbone. Verses for your vertebrae, chapters for your shoulder blades, books for my mental state, and letters on my dinner plate. You consume by what you consume, and the fumes from social media can mess up your cool. Clickbait on the internet can ruin your food. But depression ain't hashtag mood. I wanna see the moon when I stare up at the constellations to connect the dots. Vision very clear, make moves, connect the plots, and return all the earnings to my family. Prayers for my health and for my sanity.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9, every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. We got Sid Linus in the house, man. What's good, Sid, man?
Man, chilling, man. How you doing?
Yeah, doing good, man. We, it's early, man. It's early. You getting some good sleep or what? How your sleep been?
Man,
Hold on. Let me, as a matter of fact, we missed the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we have.
We missed the last 2 weeks, man. I had the flu or something. I had the flu. You know what I mean? The stomach flu. I swear I probably lost probably about like, I swear I look like Reggie Miller right now. You know what I mean? No, I'm good now. I think I get put the weight back on. But yeah, we had this. I had this. You know, the regular flu. I'd have had it probably about like 5 times in my life. Not the cold, because it's 2 different type of flus.
Right.
It's like the
stomach flu.
The sick flu where you know, the nose stuff and your throat feeling crazy. You know what I mean? And you coughing a lot. It's like a cold times 10. You know what I mean? And then there's the stomach version. The stomach version where you just be going to the bathroom 100 times, you know what I mean? You might throw up, all that stuff, headaches and all that junk, you know what I mean? So that's the joint I had, you know what I mean? So we had to take the last, you know what I mean, few weeks off or whatever, you know what I mean? We back ready to go. We got an amazing episode for everybody. We got a special interview with Charisse Lane today. And if y'all might have seen it in the news, you know what I mean? It's they say the Twitter user who compares Lizzo to Jill Scott, you know what I mean? And it was in a whole a lot of media outlets, you know what I mean? And it was in a lot of media outlets, Yahoo, Black Enterprise, like a whole bunch of different media outlets carried it. We met Sharice, you know what I mean, at the Solutionary, Maj Torres Solutionary Summit in Miami, you know what I mean? So we just hit her up and was like, you know what I mean? Yo, let's get an interview done. She was like, all right, you know what I mean? We got an amazing interview today. We gonna get her side of it, you know what I mean? Because Jill Scott actually responded, you know what I mean? She was basically pointing out the difference between Jill Scott, how Jill Scott is more classier than Lizzo. And Jill Scott actually responded to her statement on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we got her coming up next. We got her coming up, you know what I mean, later on the show, and we're going, and she'll explain everything that happened. So we got an amazing episode for everybody today.
Absolutely. So you want to get into the first topic? What are we going to talk about? You want to talk about Elon Musk or you want to talk about Kyrie?
Yeah. So how you feel about Elon Musk? How you feel about Elon Musk buying Twitter?
I feel good about it. I feel better about it than the hands that it was currently in.
Why?
Well, we bring people up on our show all the time, and it seems like everybody we have on our show has the same exact story when it comes to Twitter. They always tell us they can't move up in followers. They tell us that they don't get as much likes and retweets and things that they've been prior getting before. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're being shadow banned. They're getting tweets removed.
Almost everybody we bring up been
it's the same story.
Been shadow banned or kicked off of Twitter.
Right. It's the same story. So it's like you can't get no worse than what it already is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I do. When Elon Musk tweets and he talks about free speech, that's what I like to hear. Now let's see how it gets carried out. But I'm just talking about from the initial mindset of somebody owning an app like Twitter. And they're talking about free speech. Yep. I think that's what it should be. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, and it's so crazy how the left. It's so crazy how the left is in a panic right now. It's so crazy how they in a panic. This man said that he want free speech. He want free speech. That shows you that these people, they don't want to debate. They don't want to debate. They don't want people to have, they don't want people to say their opinions. They don't want people to say their side. All they want to do is to have people banned on Twitter for saying something that they don't like. That's all they want. This man comes to talk about, he want this to be a free speech platform. But not only that, he said the left and the right should be the extreme left and the extreme right should be equally happy on the app. You know what I mean? Well, one of them shouldn't have an advantage over the other. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And they hate that. They on Twitter talking about some, oh my God, I'm leaving Twitter. Like nobody cares. Go. Like nobody cares. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just like what we seen on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough when they was talking about he's gonna try to control the narrative and control people's thoughts, and that's our job. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, nah, man. First of all, a social media platform should not control thoughts. A social media platform right. should just have people speaking freely.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think the problem was that Twitter was trying to control thoughts, and other social media platforms were trying to control thoughts. And they were, if you said anything that was on this side of the aisle or what could be viewed as conservative or right wing or whatever, you was getting shadow banned. So now everybody sees everything that's just on the left. And I think the most visible part of that exercise was during COVID. If you spoke anything about COVID that was negative, you know what I'm saying? Especially about the medical treatments that the doctors was pushing.
Right.
It could have been a personal experience. But you got shadow banned and nobody will ever see your message. So when you come in contact with the common person who spends a good amount of time on Facebook and you tell them, I don't want to take the vaccine or whatever because I've known some people who've had like a bad reaction to it. They never heard that. Because Absolutely. If they're on Facebook all day, all they hear is just the greatest things about the vaccine, the greatest things about how you needed to fight COVID. So we have to have a wide net for the things that we are able to talk about, because that's the way we share information. We have to share information.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy that, like, right after his purchase went through, right after they announced his purchase, a lot of conservatives gained a lot of followers.
I seen that.
A lot of them gained their followers, and a lot of liberals lost followers. See, because that's what Twitter was trying to do. Twitter was trying to stifle the conservative views and block their followers, because conservatives always would talk about how did I lose, you a random seer, how did I lose 700 followers in one day, or how do I lose 1,000 followers in one day? They will always say that. See, and that's what they did. They tried to stifle the views and followers of the conservatives, and then they try to boost up. They try to fakely put followers on liberals. See, and as soon as that transition went through, it reversed. You know what I mean? That shows you how they try to ban the conservative thinking and the conservative mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Now I hear a lot of complaints on YouTube as well about how you know what I'm saying, if you on the right, your subscribers are not going up. Even when you go live, you know what I'm saying, you might drop 200-300 people in your live chat all in like 1 minute. You know what I'm saying? And so,
right.
You know, a lot of these people are playing with numbers, but I hope it gets done right, man. To be honest with you, I mean, fan base is doing it right, man. I mean, right.
It's, man, shout out to fan base. Shout out to fan base, yo.
Absolutely.
Man. Another thing, what was I about to say? I was about to say something about Elon Musk purchase. Anyway, until I get that thought back. So, a few days after Elon Musk purchased Twitter, the Joe Biden administration come out with the disinformation governance board. You know, see, that shows you how in a panic these people are. That shows you how much in a, see, they don't want you to get your information from Twitter. They don't want everybody to be speaking freely, speaking fair, have free speech. So what they're trying to do is come up with a board that tells you what to believe and what not to believe and what is fake. It's similar to what they did with the fact checker thing, but now they have a you know what I mean, they have a governance board now, and that is in a lot of people is comparing it to, I guess, in 19 the book, they had a ministry of truth. It was called a ministry of truth that basically told you what was true and what was not true. You know what I mean? And people are making comparisons to this board that Joe Biden is putting up. You know what I mean? They want to be able to control your thoughts. They want to be able to control every topic. Every topic, you know what I mean? And they want to be able to tell us what's true. That's how you know Elon Musk. That's how you know Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter is a very big deal.
A good friend of the show, Heidi Briones, she had a great tweet the other day. She said, "Our Ministry of Truth can't even define the word woman." And so,
yo, ain't that crazy? Ain't that crazy? It's so crazy because Jim Jordan was talking to the guy, one of the guys that's on the board or whatever. And he's saying, "What are y'all going to do?" Maybe Representative Gates. One of them said something about, "Yo, Hunter Biden's laptop. Is y'all gonna go back and confirm that? Is y'all gonna go back? Is that truth? You know what I mean? What y'all gonna do with that information?" Then the guy was like, "We're gonna take on information that is, you know what I mean, that is kind of like is an emergency to like America or something like that." It's like, come on, man. They can't even define what a woman. So, they can't even define. If you ask these people, can a man have a baby? If you ask these people, can a man have a baby? They will tell you, yeah. Then they will act like you a conspiracy theorist on everything else. These people are out of their mind.
But let me ask you a question.
Yo.
So the Ministry of Truth, are they going to start a social media app? Are they going to have a website? Are they like how are they going to get their information out? How are they going to debunk whatever's out there?
Man, I have no idea. I'm thinking that they could have a they have to have an app. I mean, not a they could have a, well, they have to be on social media. That's what I'm thinking. And then they probably will, run commercials. They probably will run commercials. It's gonna be tough, man. It's gonna be tough for them because nobody believes them already. But, the greatest governor, after Douglas Wilder, the greatest governor of all time, Ron DeSantis, came out and was like, "We're not doing this." We're not doing this. Like, we're not doing this in Florida, and we're gonna use all our tools to combat this Ministry of Truth. He said they want to tell you what is true, and they don't want any dissenting information or any dissenting thoughts come through. And we're not gonna have that in Florida. You know how he talked. We're not gonna have that in Florida. We're not gonna have that in America. Sure. And he be on it, bro. He be on it.
Nah, he do.
KRSM 98.9.
How you doing, guys? This is Prince Carter from the Less Argue Show.
And this is Seth Linus. And I want to tell you guys about how you can subscribe to us. There's three different ways you can subscribe. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, which is free. If you want to get exclusive audio, which we drop about once or twice a month, you can subscribe to us on Anchor for $1.99 a month. And if you want to get the videos to those exclusive audios, you can subscribe to us on Fanbase for $3.99 at Less Argue Show on Fanbase. Thank you.
Yo, we back again, Kara, 798.9, every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Hey, say, Lance, tell everybody who listens, tell them where to find us at.
Oh man, you put me on the spot, man. Yo, find us at on Fanbase, Let's Argue Show. Man, we on Twitter, we on Facebook, we on all us, we on YouTube. So just make sure you look up Let's Argue Show on Instagram. We are
the morning show
Let's too. Argue on Instagram. So
yeah. You can look up Let's Argue the Morning Show. You know what I mean, with Prince Carlton. Just type it in. You know what I mean? Go find us on Facebook. Go find we on Fanbase. We on Twitter, all of this stuff. Go find us go find all our episodes. You know, I mean, if you want to look at our past episodes, go find, if you want to, go find all our episodes. We on Apple, we on iHeartRadio. You can go to KRSM.org. You can go to the app, look at previous episodes, listen to new episodes. We on Spotify, Pandora, all that good stuff. Go find us, go subscribe. We had a victory the other day. We had a victory. No more mask on airplanes. Man, look. What do you think about that? Because I saw when it was announced, a Florida judge, of course, she came down and she said, yo, like, the CDC doesn't have the right. The CDC doesn't have the right to tell us everybody, to force everyone to wear a mask for a desired ending. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
For a desired ending. She said, that's what courts are for. So nobody can do that. You can't say, we want to bring COVID down to da 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 this. And so we're going to make everybody wear a mask for whatever ending that we hope to get. You feel what I'm saying? That's not how America works. You know what I mean? You can't force people to do something for a desired ending that you got in your head. You feel what I'm saying? So she struck it down, and immediately you saw celebrations on airplanes. You saw pilots coming out. You saw people, the stewardess is celebrating, taking off their masks and everything. And you see the left getting so upset, crying, scared to fly again. It's like, look, man, hold on. It's like, how in the world are you going to have two shots, two boosters, a mask on your face, and a shield over your eyes, and still be afraid of people? Like, what in the world? What is your problem? What is your problem?
Well, here's my thing. If you want to get two boosters, two shots, a shield, and wear a mask, that's on you.
It's on you.
Everybody shouldn't have to abide by that same rule. You know what I'm saying? And to me, every time I fly, because I fly a lot, I feel like the mask actually, like, hurts me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't feel like the mask is helping me or making me feel more healthier, making me feel more safe. Is actually harder to breathe. You have to wear it for a long period of time, especially if you have a layover. I stopped even liking flying, because if I have a layover, that pretty much guarantees that I have to have a mask on my face for about 8 hours straight. You know what I'm saying? And so that's just entirely too long. I didn't like it. So I'm absolutely glad that it has been shut down. I hope it doesn't come back. You know what I'm saying? I just know for a mask, to wear a mask for that long period of time, it does something to you. I think it can make you sick as well.
Right, absolutely. See, one thing about that shows you the difference in people, the mind state of people. Let me tell you something. These people are simply angry that you have the option to not wear your mask. That's what type of people we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are nobody on the right, no conservative or no regular human have said to these people, hey, everybody must take their mask off. They want everybody to have the mask on. Nobody on our side has said everybody must take the mask off. What they're saying is, if you want to put 79 masks on your little baby, if you want to put 800 masks on yourself, if you want to mask your whole body up, wrap yourself in a bubble, hey, go do it. But I don't have to do that. If your mask works, then it works. But I don't have to feel afraid of life. I don't have to feel the same afraidness or fear of life that you do. And these people are out their mind. They're upset. They're upset about just regular people having the option of taking the mask off. It's so ridiculous. Anyway, the Biden administration, we'll move on to the next subject. But Dr. Fauci has said that his response to this was, what do you say? It's so unfortunate that the courts are, this is a CDC matter, for health of the Americans. This is a CDC matter. It's so unfortunate that the courts can, intervene. It's like, yo, no, are you serious?
He has it backwards. It should have been going through the courts from the beginning.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the problem that everybody had, was that it was just, CDC would make guidelines, and then it would just be enforced without the courts. Nah, it should have been going through the courts from the jump.
Exactly. So the Biden administration has, the CDC told the Biden administration to fight this, and now they got an appeal in the works. We'll see if it goes through or not. I believe for right now, you don't have to wear a mask in an airport or airplane. I believe.
I saw somebody on Twitter that we followed. They said my first maskless flight in 2 years, and it was like yesterday. So,
boom, there we go. Okay, Kyrie Irving, they out the playoffs now. Kyrie Irving is the Nets got swept 4-0. Okay, now Kyrie Irving kind of went off on a little spat, you know what I mean, on Twitter, and we know exactly who he's talking about, you know what I mean. I'm a big fan of Kyrie. Go ahead, read what he said.
So he had a series of tweets. So one of his first tweets was, "I send shots at the puppet masters, not the puppets. All puppets do is run around society trying to gain popularity and state opinions. What a life. My name is worth billions to these media corporations. My brothers and sisters who deal with this know exactly what I mean." And he goes on further to say, "When you become free mentally and spiritually, there is not much this twisted, racist society can surprise you with. My ancestors left behind all of the wisdom and truth for their agenda to be exposed. We know exactly who they are. They can't hide from their filth. A lot of these media corporations make their money by degrading Black, African, Indigenous community heroes. They thrive off of it and then sell it back to us by having a hand-selected person or a group of people spark controversy about them for the world to see. Just watch all of the people who wake up every day and report about people's lives on TV and social media and then profit off of them. Then they justify their jobs by saying they get paid to say how they feel. It's like these people live in a fantasy." So that's Kyrie's series of tweets. Whether or not he was talking about Stephen A or not, Stephen A took offense, and Stephen A.
He would definitely talk about Stephen A. But we gotta place Stephen A's rebuttal real quick.
Okay.
And see what Stephen A had to say about this.
"One of the most delusional athletes in American history. He's lost. Because he's so big on telling everybody else they're lost. You can try to paint this issue, Kyrie, into anything you want. What it comes down to and what everybody's focusing on, you don't want to show up to work. You want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, while you got your hand out for somebody else's money. And then when you get called on it, we're the peons. We're the ones who are puppets. Kyrie actually looks down on us because we want to see him play. And we're demanding that you play. Right now, the season is over. He got 6 months off. 6 months off on top of the 53 games that he missed. Okay? And he's getting paid
over $30 million, and don't think for one second he didn't get his money. He got money now. He got his money when he was. So here you are. You don't want to work unless you want to do it when you want to do it. You come back from the whole mandate, and even though you had spectacular games, there were other games where you were struggling, and literally he went on the record and was talking about he got his legs. They're a little bit tired. Well, what the hell are you doing with all of that time off? It's beyond the pale to ask that question. And then you go out on a Twitter rant, and you start spewing this stuff. Why? Because the media, who gets paid to cover the sport, is asking you about.
Man, here's my thoughts on that. I got two thoughts. Anything about sports is fair game. When you're demonizing the man for not taking a COVID shot, that's not fair game.
Yeah.
Number two, you are do you work for the NBA or something? Why are you so involved with how much money he getting and whether or not he played or not? That's a Brooklyn Nets issue. You know what I'm saying? It almost seems like when these black athletes don't do what we tell them to do, we're going to use the media to degrade them so bad that these athletes are going to do exactly what these teams tell them to do from here on out.
Man, look, Stephen A is out his daggone mind, man. He out his daggone mind. I mean, like, what did he not listen? Like you said, it's one thing to cover it, the sports, but when you continue to get on TV and target one guy talking about his vaccine status, and then you talking about why does he care about what the Nets is paying him? Right. Why is he in that man's pockets?
Right.
And then he get offended when somebody say something about him. You know what I mean? He get offended when somebody talk about him. And he spent the last year and last whole year talking about Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Last whole year. You know what I mean? But like Kyrie said, see, I think Stephen A got his feelings hurt by Kyrie calling him out. You know what I mean? I would love to see the rest of that episode to see if Molly chimed in. You know what I mean?
Molly did chime in because Kendrick Perkins said, Kobe Bryant's your mentor, but Kobe Bryant would have been upset with your behavior of not playing and stuff like that. And Molly chimed in, I had a conversation with Kobe one time, and Kobe said that he was never on social media when he played because it was too much of a distraction. So it was like, it's just little shots or whatever, man. But like I say, man, if you want to talk about Kyrie and basketball, that's fine. But don't try to degrade who this guy is personally because of something you disagree with him doing. That's out of bounds. But that's what they do. Same thing he did to Muhammad. And people can say, oh, these not the same people. Yeah, they're not the same people. But they didn't like what Muhammad Ali did, so used the media to degrade them. They didn't like what Colin Kaepernick did, so used the media to degrade them. They didn't like things that Jim Brown did and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all these different players, and they used the media to degrade them. It's just that now in 2022, they're not using white media people to degrade them. They're using black media people to degrade them. And that's the problem. Y'all should know better.
Man, we need to hit Stephen A. Smith up and bring him on the show, man.
Yeah, he ain't coming on the show, man.
Yo, that would be amazing. All right, we got a great show. We got a great show. We got a great interview coming up with Charisse Lane. She's been all over the news for the comparison that she made with Lizzo and Jill Scott. We got her telling her side of the story coming up. Kara Sim, 98.9.
Goliath had four brothers, David had five stones. He was ready for the whole crew, repping them dry bones. The way of the hour in all 24 time zones, showing you the difference between figs and some pine cones. There's a difference in trees, caught the smell in the breeze. They cooking up deception north of 600 degrees. But I'm a picky eater, not vegan or paleo. It's homegrown, cause suckers never play me on the radio. Ain't no liquor or weed, throw some other shoes to. Without deliverance, you'd be surprised what you're reduced to. Rubble or ashes, the darkness to lightning flashes. And we think we got a glimpse to the moment that Satan crashes. Down to the earth, now all hell can break loose. Toasting to the Antichrist, taking shots to Grey Goose. A lust hangover, how long till the pain's over? The world is drunk with power, I challenge you to remain sober. And keep your nose clean, I can describe the whole scene. The tempter hit me with the tear gas, a bunch of smoke screams. So now I'm disoriented, these times are unprecedented. Yeshua said he coming back, I bet you money, he meant it. I say bet you money, cause you feel it's your main essential. Me and Jesus got that lawyer client privilege confidential. Digging up dirt on me, my dirt has been forgotten. Still find myself at this certain tree holding fruit that's rotten. I was coherent to the moment that they spiked the punch. Remember, all it takes is one bad apple to spoil the bunch.
Let's hit the brunch, it's a little afternoon time. Sending prayers out, y'all can keep the cool vibes. Flawless victories with all these combats with mortals. Shame the devil, got them hiding in some secret portals. I walk in, flip the tables over the out the gate. Cause I can see you fake, but we embrace the hate. I read every email and every detail, but see the devil try to derail, but I'm a free will. Cause some never learn until you're hands on. And they have more excuses just to land on. They refuse to pray, I refuse to be prey. Walking in the castle, keep the throne where the king stay. I'm the type to drag mud on your brother's couch and change the TV at your mother's house. Deprogramming, defeat those families. Earthquake, disease, water shortages, OGs. They say global warming, my accounts on freeze. If love is the house, then I need those keys. It's ironic how Corona wiped out the flu. Spending Friday nights watching the finals from 92. I told Rob he'll be blessed for taking care of his fam. 100K a year job landed in his hands.
Yeah. Here's the story, a man went to sow some grain by throwing seeds out his hand. To grow a tree was his plan. Take notice at how they land. Some fell where there was no grass. Birds floated and glanced, then came and ate them in a flash. Others fell where there was rocks. Sufficient soil was not available. So when those crops attempt to grow, they could not. For a moment they would sprout, but the sunshine hot, bringing their growth to a stop. This is when focus is blocked. Some others came down on thorns, which then choked where they were formed. Because they were torn between growing up and what's going on. The remaining touched down on this sumptuous good ground. Get fourth grain with roots that extend till the brooks found, huh? If you alive and get what I'm putting down, then give me a subtle nod. It all begins in the heart, that's where the soil is rod. And also what forms the plot, the wind sowing Elohim. And the seed is the word of God. Trees.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9, every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. We got the special guest, Sharice Lane, in the house. She's the one who made the comparison to Lizzo. What was it? Lizzo and Jill Scott. She's been all over the place, and we got her here today. We're going to let her explain herself. Go ahead, say it.
Yep. So first of all, what we like to do with all of our guests, we like to have them explain themselves to our audience in their own words. So just explain to our audience who you are.
Right. So, hi, my name is Sharice Lane. I am a YouTube host, political commentator, college student, and also I will be interning this summer in Washington, D.C. So I have a lot going on. Wow. But I love giving my opinions online. I love commentating. And, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Oh, so you can be in D.C.?
I will, but I'm not going to put out there where I'll be interning because right. People will probably try to get me fired.
Right.
I will be interning in D.C. starting next month.
Exactly. We're originally from Virginia, Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's our area too. Okay, so explain to us everything that transpired with the Lizzo and Jill Scott comparison. Like in your own, how did everything happen?
Right, so do you have the tweet pulled up?
Yeah,
do you have it pulled up right now? Can you read it real quick and then I'm going to go into it?
Okay, let's see. Okay. Okay, so, all right, here we go. Okay, it start with your size, right? Your size isn't the reason, right? Yeah. Okay, your size isn't the reason men won't date you. It's the level of class you have. For instance, let's compare Jill Scott DeLizzo. Men, which one would you date?
Okay, so as you guys know, like I said, I commentate. I give my opinions on things. I give my opinions on celebrities, like the normal person would do.
Right.
So that's what I do. I have discussions like that all the time on my Twitter. I didn't mm-hmm. even, I wasn't trying to get any clout. I wasn't trying to get any attention. I didn't even tag them, okay? But yes, I always talk about class and self-respect and basically as Black women being an example to our young Black girls, being a great example or the right example to our young Black girls. So yes, that was basically my reasoning behind the tweet. I was talking about class and I was pointing out two Black women, two plus size Black women, who one that I thought was classy and one that I thought wasn't as classy. And that was it. I tweeted that at night. Next day, blew up. And I see Jill Scott's, I see Jill Scott's response, which was a gif. It wasn't even her telling me off, because we all know Jill Scott wanted to tell someone off. She could have.
Absolutely.
But it was a gif that said stop it, which I can understand because she didn't want her name involved. She's not a controversial person. I'm not really a controversial person either. I don't really try to be. I just give my opinion on things and sometimes people don't agree. But yes, yeah, so I tweeted that and then the next day it blew up and I see everyone getting upset at me. I see media sites starting to report on this saying, oh, Jill Scott shuts down fan, da 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 da. Jill Scott shuts down conservative Black woman,
right?
And then I start getting messages from people saying you need to go kill yourself. It's not that serious. I'm giving my opinion. It might be unpopular, but I have the freedom of speech.
Right.
Yes, I know everything that we say comes with consequences, but at the end of the day, I have a right to say what I want to say, regardless of people's opinion. So people have still been talking about it, and it's been kind of annoying. What people don't know is Jill actually messaged me and I messaged her back. She didn't say anything back, but that lets me know if she messaged me, she wasn't that upset. She messaged me yesterday.
Wow.
And I'm not going to post it, but I can show you guys probably after the message. And I had to like go in and accept her message. If she was that upset with me, she would have never messaged me. But that's besides the point. I have a right to my opinion as a free-thinking Black woman. And I hate how people make it seem like you have to follow the crowd and what you believe in. You have to be censored in what you say. No, no.
Right.
I'm abiding by the First Amendment, the right to freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, you know, that kind of stuff. So that was basically my point of tweeting it. I have regular discussions like this all the time. It wasn't to compare Black women or put Black women against each other. It was to give the comparison of two plus size Black women that I felt was classy and wasn't classy. Now, people calling me a pick me. I wasn't trying to tweet it to get the attention of men.
Right.
I'm currently single by choice right now. I wasn't trying to get anybody's attention. And I don't want anybody's attention right now. I was just stating my opinion on the matter, and that was it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Okay, so what was it about your tweet that people actually had problem with? Like how were they responding to your tweet? Did they think you were like offending Lizzo or something like that? Or
they were saying that I was being fatphobic, which I don't understand. If I said that your size isn't the reason that men won't date you, so it was basically they were saying that I'm fatphobic and also saying that I'm trying to compare two Black women and trying to put them against each other, which wasn't the case. But of course, when these media sites start, not only media sites, but people start criticizing what I tweeted, they didn't want to hear my side. They never do.
Exactly.
None of them invited me on their platforms to state the reasoning as to why I tweeted what I tweeted. Nobody reached out. Everyone from Yahoo to Ricky Smiley reported on my tweet, but no one asked me to come on their show. No one interviewed me to hear the reasoning behind what I tweeted. And honestly, it really wasn't that serious. They're blowing this way out of proportion. Jill Scott tweeted back a gift, and that was it. If she wanted to go off on me, she would have.
Right. So okay, so when you woke up in the morning and you saw that Jill Scott like said something back, what was your immediate reaction? As a matter of fact, are you a Jill Scott fan?
Yes, I love her music. I love her music.
All right, so what was your immediate reaction when Jill Scott typed
back? I wasn't upset at the response, but I knew. I said, oh, Lord, everybody's going to blow this up right. Because she responded and what happened. Like, the story is literally everywhere.
Yep. Wow. Oh, okay. So I looked at your video that you posted on response to this, and you call yourself Mrs. Pick Me. You call yourself Mrs. Pick Me. Okay. So, right? You did it,
yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
I call myself Mrs. Pick Me, yes.
Right. Okay. I want to know, like, can you explain to our audience, for the people who don't know?
Explain to me.
You don't know what that is?
No.
What's wrong with you, man? Okay. Explain to him and explain to the rest of our audience what a pick me is.
So, according to all the women who have called me a pick me, which is one of the reasons why I just said, okay, I'm just pick me at this point. It's because they think that anytime I side with men, I'm a pick me. Anytime I criticize women, I'm a pick me. That's basically what it is. They think that because I stand up for men a lot, because I see that nobody else really wants to stand up for men. Everyone is coming against men all the time, always calling them misogynistic and, oh, stay out of women's business and this and that. So I stand up for men a lot, and but I also hold my sisters accountable, and that's what they don't like. Mm-hmm. I went raw before for holding my sisters accountable. I don't know if you guys saw last year. This same thing happened last year, I think twice. One of the tweets was basically I am a prize tweet. And I talked about that on my on my YouTube, and I was basically listing the qualities of why I'm the prize.
Right.
I don't have no children. I'm fit. I'm feminine. I'm friendly. No abortion. You know, stuff like that. Stuff that right. I tweeted that, and great I was talking stuff about myself, and all the women got mad and said, "You're a pick me."
That is ridiculous. See, it's so crazy because, like, I've been following you on Twitter maybe for about, what, 2 years maybe? And I see a lot of the stuff. Like every now and then you have something blow up, like, real big. You know what I mean?
And I don't even expect it. I just be talking. That's what I do. I commentate. I talk about stuff. If you're a celebrity, people are going to talk about you. Get over it.
You think
you're untouchable because you're a celebrity? No. You poop between two shoes just like me. Right, you're a human right. being just like me. So therefore, you're not untouchable.
Right. Okay. So how do you, let me ask you this. Okay. How do you even go through? Okay. So, like, I seen probably like maybe four or five things. Like it was you just giving an honest opinion, or you just saying something. And next thing you know, everybody lose their mind. Everybody go crazy. How do you deal with that?
I'm used to it. I've been a commentator or a social media influencer since like 2018. I've been giving my opinions, my unwarranted opinions and opinions that people don't really agree with since 2018. So I've been at this for a long time, and it was hard at first.
Right.
Especially when it comes to my political affiliations. A lot of people didn't like me. A lot of people said, if you don't stop thinking this way, I'm going to stop being your friend. And I said, bye. It was hard at first.
Right.
But it's something that I'm used to now. And it's something that you have to get used to if you want to be in this game.
Absolutely.
So it can be hard sometimes. Like it was disheartening to see how many people were reporting on this, but not reaching out to me to say, hey, we want to give you a fair chance to explain your reasoning behind why you tweeted this. It made me feel a little sad, but at the same time, this is what's going to happen if you have an opinion that people don't agree with, or if you believe in free speech and don't believe in cancel culture, and you're just giving an unpopular opinion, that's what's going to happen. And I will also say, we shouldn't follow the crowd, and we shouldn't all think the same, because we're not all the same.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with that. We go through the same thing. We like, I tell everybody, we the only like conservative, like on our radio station, we pretty much the only conservative, you know what I mean, radio show on our radio, and we in Minneapolis, you know what I mean? So you know this
and that's
this,
crazy. Two black men.
Exactly. That's why, like,
that's what's up.
Like when I saw you at Maj Tour, the Solutionary Summit, you know what I mean? I was like, yo, I knew I had you as a Twitter friend, you know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I'm gonna introduce myself because it's good seeing like other black people in with the same like kind of train of thought, you know what I mean, in the same place, you know what I mean? Because the media want to make it seem like that we own a boat all alone, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? All black people are liberal, you know what I mean?
Exactly. When I talked about this on Fox, I basically said black people are historically conservative. So
I remember that.
Not all of us are liberal. And conservatism has nothing to do with party, everything to do with values. That's what I just keep trying to push to Amen. Black people and make them understand. You might not know it, but you're actually conservative, especially if you were raised in a church, which a lot of us were. My grandparents are pastors. I was raised in a church, you know. I was known as church girl. And I still stick by a lot of those values today, which makes me a conservative. What is conservative? What does that mean to me? It's surrounding yourself around God, family, hard work, discipline, not depending on government, you know, personal responsibility, that kind of stuff. And that's what I believe a lot of black people in America, black Americans have. They have conservative values.
Let me ask you a question. So what turns, and it's just, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but what turns, if black people are conservative, what turns black people off about the Republican Party, do you think?
And again, conservatives don't mean you Republican, but for True. Instance, there are True. A lot of right. conservatives who identify as Republican. Right. I would say it's their messaging and saying that black people, I don't like this. I used to like it, but I don't anymore. This phrase, black people are slaves on a Democrat plantation. Would you tell a Jew that they're slaves in a Democrat concentration camp? I don't think so.
Right.
So don't say that to black people. It's your messaging. It's saying to black people that you cannot say that you're pro-black, which I'm pro-black, but I'm also conservative. Mm-hmm. You can't say you're pro-black. Or they'll say, you're not black, you're American. You can't be both. Like, yes, I can. You can't tell me that I can't be proud of my heritage and my culture. Yeah. They will push everybody up when it comes to their heritage and their culture. But then when it comes to black Americans and black people in America, it's no, you're not black, you're American. Be proud to be American. Or, oh, it's wrong to celebrate Juneteenth. Oh, it's wrong to celebrate Black History Month. Things that I bump heads with all the time mm-hmm. when it comes to Republicans. It's the messaging. And also them being scared to come into the community and actually do the work in Absolutely. Order to get our vote. And not just coming to get our vote, coming consistently, volunteering, doing the work. Right, that's their right. problem.
Right. Let me dart back to somewhere. We jumping around right now. But look, okay. So I have a problem with the pick me thing. What is wrong with even being a pick me? Because my
there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, you're right. Every woman
wants to get picked. Every woman deep Thank down, you. Every woman wants to be in a relationship. Every woman wants to get married and have that picket fence family.
Right. Right. Well, why do you think, why is it such a bad thing? Why do people look at being a pick me? Because if you really think about it, a lot of these people who call you a pick me, they getting dressed and going to the club and being a pick me at the club. You feel what I'm saying?
And doing it the wrong way.
And doing it the wrong way.
Having their butt in the air. Cheeks spread
Exactly. So they being a pick me.
Sometimes I go to the club. Well, I haven't really like recently, but sometimes I'll go out. But for me, which they probably will say this too, they're not going for men. I really just go because I want to go. Like, I just want to have a good time. I don't be having my butt in the air or nothing, but that's the difference between me and them. They be having their butt in the air Right. Hands on the floor, twerking up the storm. Like, that's just not me. Sorry. Yeah. But my numbers still get asked anyways because I go looking nice, you know?
Right, right. No doubt. Yeah. And see, like it is it, like when people was calling, like when women call other women pick me, it's just like I'm just thinking about how men do. Like we like, yo, pick me. We want to be picked. Like you, it's straight not even up. Slander to call men to pick me. We straight like, yo, up. We want you to pick me. You want all y'all to pick me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not, it's not even slander if you call men pick me. You know what I mean?
But the difference between that men and women is you guys are the pursuers. So like,
right.
It's kind of sort of like you guys do the picking. So it's natural for you to like go after women because you're the pursuers. We're the nurturers. And right. Also, I think that a lot of women, they get upset with me and call me a pick me because they're not in the state to be picked. Like, no one wants them. Like, you have such a bad attitude. You're out of shape. Yep. Your hygiene is up the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Such a bad attitude, you know, right. All over the place.
Right.
Hey, yo, so
nobody wants to deal with that.
So let me ask you a question. So is that the reason why you think people call you misogynist? Is because you hold women accountable for you know what I'm saying, for everything, not just appearance, but who they are on the inside and on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I hold myself accountable too. I'm not a perfect person. Right. I've made my mistakes, and I have my mentors who I go to, and I tell them my faults and what I'm dealing with, and they correct me on it and say, oh, you have to do better, you know. Nobody's right. Perfect. I know everyone has made mistakes, but what's important is what you're doing now. What are you doing presently? What are you doing now?
Right, right. So okay.
But me, let's slow down a second.
Go ahead.
but why is it so wrong for men to say what you just said? So what you say when you say like I'm fit? You know what I'm saying? I take care of myself. You know what I'm saying? I take care of my hygiene. I'm smart. You know what I'm saying? All things like that.
I try to smile at men. Have a good attitude.
Let me tell you something. I tell my wife all the time. The first time I met her, she gave me a genuine smile. I said, that's the first genuine smile I got from a woman in a long time. I said that was it. You know what I'm saying?
No, bro, you never got a genuine smile.
No, you come on.
let me bring something up. Okay, so we talk. I'm gonna get bombarded with this, and you can answer this however you want to answer it. Okay, I tried to write this question out so many different ways, so I don't get attacked with this. Okay, so look, in today's society, it seems like you can criticize if a man do something, you could criticize that dude to death. You could criticize
especially black men.
Black men. You could criticize black men till they go hide in the corner, till they get canceled off of everything. You can criticize everybody in the world. But soon as you criticize a black woman or I'll say a gay person is off limits. It's just it's just off limits. Like, I'm talking about Meg Thee Stallion could just push a 3-year-old on the ground. And if I say, oh man, that was mean what she did, they'll be like, stay in your lane. You don't have no right talking about black women. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, so you telling me like, no, like we can't criticize nobody. You know what I mean? Like what is that about?
Because a lot of them are unapproachable and they just feel like no one can touch them. It's just gotten so bad. I'm trying to figure this out myself.
Right.
But you just can't tell them nothing anymore. You can't tell my sisters nothing no more. And it's sad. But we're not really in a good state as is concerning community of us. We really aren't. But they don't want to hear that.
So do you think okay, so how do you think men should go about, okay, so if we feel a different way, like how do you think black men should go about it? Because every time I boom, 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 oh man, yo, you just da 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 da. It's like, oh my gosh, here we go again. You can't even have an opinion on stuff no more. Like so how should men go about, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to say criticizing, but offering their opinion on some things that Black women do.
Say what you need to say and stand on it, period.
That's
don't
it.
Don't let anyone tell you you can't say what you need to say.
Boom.
The sisters that get it, they're going to get it.
Right.
What is that? The girls that get it. And the girls that don't. Point blank, period. Fact. And that's what I live by to this day. I'm going to say what I need to say. Someone's going to understand it. Someone isn't. Someone is going to love what I say, and someone isn't.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Cause I feel like when I saw your tweet, I'm like, yo, she's speaking the truth. Like she's speaking, like that is exactly the difference between them. Like everybody knows it. And
they've been compared before, which I didn't know. I was just using two examples that I thought was classy and wasn't classy. But they've been compared before. I just didn't know that until I was looking up articles concerning me. And people were bringing up other articles of people comparing them. But hey, Jill Scott is known as that plus-size Black woman that everyone respects. Right. She might be plus-size, but she's also classy. Now, I know people were bringing up a performance she did some years ago.
Yep.
But there's a difference between performing and being out in the open in front of children, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
There's a time and a place for everything.
Yep.
Was children at that concert with Jill? No. I'm pretty sure they weren't.
Right.
But you're going to a basketball game with your cheeks out in an airport. Going on a plane, which I know was her private plane, but still with your cheeks out. No, ma'am.
It's too much. It's just too much.
She's seeking attention at this point. It really shows how insecure she is. She has to do all of that.
Oh, man.
I'm going to get canceled for that too. Oops. And let's not even get into, I didn't even get into the fact that even though men will approach you, and they won't stop, like, not approach you just because you're plus size. You also have to realize being, like, extremely plus size or obese isn't good. Like, that's not healthy. Me, I'm not even on the heavier side, and I still go to the gym and try to eat as healthy as I can. You know, sometimes I do mess up here and there. Like, I want some wings right now. I want some lemon pepper wings right now. But I still go to the gym and work out. I don't have to because I'm at the age and the size where it's really not needed, but I go for my health. Right. Because I know that when I get older, it's going to be harder for me to keep the pounds off. So I'm going to have to work harder or work just as hard as I am now in the gym.
Right. You're creating that discipline right now.
You're creating the discipline now so that when it's really needed later on in life, you already know how to go ahead and do it, you know what I'm saying? Do it without.
And I work my behind off. I squat with them weights like it's no tomorrow. My body's sore right now because I was in the gym killing it.
Look, my thing is with the media, what they're currently doing right now is like they're feeding Black people the worst type of behavior, and any other Black people, it's like you see like new commercials on TV from Adidas and everybody. It's like, oh, like they show like a 300-pound Black woman up there, like just smiling and dancing. It's like, yo,
Calvin
just
Klein,
be
right. Wasn't it Calvin Klein?
Yeah, I think Calvin Klein. Yeah, yeah. It's like just be you. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, yo, we gotta teach our people how to eat good, how to stay fit. See, because the media don't care about us. So then when people like us come and say, hey, yo, hey, chill. Why you acting like that? You know what I mean? Like, yo, you got to eat better or do this right. They don't like, they attack us because they want us to be in some free fall. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, it's a trick from the media, the mainstream media.
No, for sure. But let's switch gears. I'm one of my favorite tweets from you is actually about reparations. And you said, I don't kind of paraphrase them, but I think you were asking the question, like, are there any black conservatives who believe in reparations? Tell us your thoughts on reparations and how you feel about them and why you asked that question.
Right. So when I first started publicly spewing or talking about my political affiliations and what I believe in, I wasn't for reparations at first. And that was mainly because I was the crowd of black conservatives I was following after were just spewing talking points. And so I was genuine in what I believed in, but I was following after them because, you know, they were like some of the only black conservatives that I had seen that were, you know, some of the stuff that they were saying I agreed with. And so, yeah, I wasn't for it at first. But when I started to do my research, I realized, hey, this is actually what the United States promised to black Americans, especially when slavery was over, you know, 40 acres and a mule. They promised us reparations. And yet it's nowhere to be found. But they have given reparations to a lot of other people groups. Mm-hmm. And they are pushing policies for other people groups, but not for black Americans. So I think it's important that we get reparations because it's something that was promised to us. And also it's because a lot of these politicians and parties, they will pander to us and push out little symbolic things, mm-hmm. trying to show us that they care. Not really, but quote unquote show us that they care, but really not pushing out any policy. And I think policy is important. How are you going to push out policy for every other people group, but not for the very people that supports you in a whole, especially when it comes to like Democrats?
Yep.
A lot of black people support Democrats. A lot of black people are Democrats. And yet we're not really getting any tangibles for our people. A lot of us aren't benefiting from generational wealth right now, but a lot of our counterparts are.
Mm.
I'm not benefiting from generational wealth. So I think reparations is very important.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, if you look at the last couple of years since Joe Biden's been president, we've seen money go to Afghanistan refugees. We've seen money go to money's going to the Ukraine refugees that's coming over here.
The people coming over the border.
Which don't make no sense. Billions of dollars.
Yeah, and the Mexicans, some sort of settlement with the Mexicans who got separated from their babies at the border. They're getting money a bunch of black men too.
Getting separated from their kids, being put in jail for nonviolent drug abuse. We're not gonna get into that.
So me and him, we talk about reparations all the time.
Because a lot of black conservatives aren't, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Listen. I got a unique take on it. I'm for it, but I got a unique take on it. Okay, so the way I feel is like, if reparations came, like I'm all for reparations. I just believe whenever it comes, it's going to have one hell of a string attached to it. It's going to be like, okay, you know what? You black people have to make sure you get annual COVID shots, the vaccine shots. You got to make sure that
the devil is alive because they're not doing that to other people.
Exactly. So we discuss this all the time. It's like when it comes to black people, like they could give all races of people all type of money with no strings attached. Whenever it comes to black people, we gotta do this, we gotta do that. Oh, Fauci's gonna say, oh, all black people should get. It's like so many strings that I believe will be attached that I feel that it will be dangerous to accept reparations. But if we have honest people and it's an honest situation, I'm all for it. I just believe that for us to get that situation, we will have to, I don't even want to say it. We would have to
sell out.
We have to either sell out, but see, we would have to for us to really get reparations, we got to run up in there and go get it. Like I feel like that's the only genuine way. I feel like that's the only genuine way that we can ever get reparations. But hopefully
not. You know, we can't, you know.
I know, absolutely.
They'll put
I
us in jail quick.
Exactly.
You already know.
So, right. so we have to do it in a metaphorical way. We have to do it. We have to. I mean, the Black community is a huge resource. You know what I'm saying? In itself,
for everyone.
So if we block off, if we block ourselves off from being leashed on. You know what I'm saying? They're going to understand that they need us, and they will be willing to, you know what I'm saying, do more things. And also, we have to make sure that when we do get reparations, it looks like the way we want it to look. It's not the way they want it. They want to give us. No, it has to look like what it's supposed to look like. You know what I'm saying?
But that's I hope it gets done, but I really don't see it happening because we are so divided.
Mm-hmm.
As a people,
mm-hmm.
You got the divesters.
Oh my gosh.
You got the Black conservatives who basically don't want Black people to be proud of their culture and their heritage. all of this different stuff, all of these different types of Black people, which is okay. You know, we're not a monolith, but we can't even come together on one simple subject. We can't even come together on Black History Month. You got Black people saying that we shouldn't have a Black History Month. Are you serious?
I was telling him the same thing. I said, "Yo,
you stink. Like you smell.
Yo, That is exactly what we was. I was telling him the same thing. I said, "Yo, how can we get on the same page with reparations?" And we still got people thinking Bill Clinton is the first Black president. It's like, yo, like because he played the
just
saxophone.
Just because he cheated on his wife.
Yo, he cheated on his wife, played his saxophone, you know, and kissed a few Black babies. It's like, yo, come on, man. It's like we have to really get on the same page. We have to really get on the same page, like on other stuff. I feel like before we can even come together on reparations, but I'm for reparations, and I think in a perfect situation, if honest people deliver a honest the what they supposed to with no strings attached, we should accept it. But I believe in my heart when it comes, it's going to have 900 billion strings attached to
it. I hope so, but this country has done so much buck breaking when it comes to Black people. That's why we're not as unified as we should be. Because if we were as unified as we should be, I think we could have already gotten this done. See what they did with the civil rights movement.
Yep.
They were unified.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like I put underneath your tweet on the comment, I said, yo, anybody who, any Black person who don't want reparations, just, I'm going to send you an invoice. You sign your future earnings over to me. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, a lot of these Black people who are talking about, we don't need no reparations. If reparations come down, they're going to accept that money. You know what I'm saying? So we need to stop fronting. You know, and that's the thing. A lot of these other races, you don't hear people from that same race come in and try to intercept money that's coming to that community. You don't hear any Ukrainian.
I mean, let's be honest, though. A lot of people, let's be honest, a lot of Black people that's against reparations, they're marrying, be honest, they're marrying white people who are benefiting from generational wealth. So that means these Black people who are marrying these white people are benefiting from it as well. So yeah, they're marrying white people. Of course they don't want reparations because they benefited from generational wealth from their white partner.
Right. So, okay. So okay. So why do you think, you asked the question about why you think black conservatives, why do you think Black conservatives are afraid to support reparations?
Well, yeah,
they don't want to accept the white conservatives and the white Republicans. I'm just being honest. I'm not being racist. Anyone who's listening, but it's it's the truth. Like I was afraid, even though I was giving my opinions, my political opinions, I was afraid to upset them at a time. Because I'm going to lose their support, which I did eventually when I stood up for Ahmaud Arbery.
Right.
And what happened with him and George Floyd, even Breonna Taylor. I can remember vividly a lot of conservatives turned against me. I lost thousands of followers and supporters in 2020 for standing up for my people.
right,
and saying, no, this is not right.
Right.
Yeah, because okay, so let me ask you this. Me and him talked. This is the last question, and then we're gonna let you pump anything that you're doing. Me and him discussed this probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I asked him this question. If Dr. Fauci said, "Hey, I'm gonna give reparations to Black people," should Black Americans accept it?
No, he's an op. I'm sorry, I'm not trusting him. No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
The fact that he wanted to force everybody to get a freaking COVID shot. No. Absolutely
thank
not.
Thank you.
But
don't trust dirty money.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, we trying to trap you in our own little personal debate. Okay, so
it was a trap.
It's good. You agree with me though, so it's all good.
Okay, my answer was whatever that paper or that piece of legislation that's going to give us reparations, as long as that looks the way we want it to look. I don't care if it's coming from Saddam Hussein. I really don't. As long as that paper looks the way we want it to look. Because at the end of the day, we can't really trust any presidents. You know what I'm saying?
Why you gotta say Saddam Hussein? Why you gotta say Saddam Hussein?
Like,
why don't
what?
You say Hitler? Why don't you say Hitler?
Saddam Hussein.
No, but I'm just saying anybody. I'm just saying it could come from anybody. As long as what the words say on that sheet of paper is exactly the way the Black people want it to look, and it's the money that
we can't even come to a conclusion on how we want it, because we can't even freaking agree. We can't even freaking agree on if we want reparations or not. No, we have to fix that first.
Yeah, we want it all in cash. I want it all in cash.
Okay, all right. So we got one last question. Are there any projects or any social media, anything that you want to pump right now?
Yes.
Here's your chance. Go ahead.
My YouTube, you guys. I need you to go to my YouTube and view my videos. I have some more content coming, but it's going to be kind of a while because I'm also going to be interning, like I said, in Washington, D.C. this summer. So I do need you to go subscribe to my YouTube, Charisse Lane, and it's 2 R's, 1 S. So CHARRISELANE. And also I did make a post on Twitter and Facebook about if you wanted to support me and financially in any way, because I am going by myself. I'm going to be interning with other students, but I am going by myself, and I'm going to need the toiletries and food. And they're providing me somewhere to stay, but toiletries, food, transportation. If you want to support me in any way, I have the Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all on my Twitter and my Facebook. My Cash App is Charisse Lane 3. But yeah, if you want to support me, yeah, just go subscribe to my YouTube. And if you can in any way give financially so I can be successful when it comes to my internship, then those things are up as well. And that's it. Also, I have a Instagram, Charisse Lane, Twitter, and I have a TikTok as well.
You should get a fan base. You know what fan base is?
I do. I just haven't been active on there in a while.
Oh, I'm a fan.
Oh, so you were there.
I have a fan base. It's Charisse Lane.
Okay. Yeah, we invested. We invested money in that app. We invested money. Yeah. So yeah, we gonna follow you, and we gonna make sure you get some money on your Cash App too, for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need
those wings tonight. Or lemon pepper wings.
Right, exactly. Yo, thank you for coming on our show. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you for having me.